B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand here on the Sports Up. Back to your phones as promised with Jake, who's in Oxford. Hi, Jake.
Sup, Zo?
What's up?
Hey, not much. First of all, I just want to get this off my chest. For the past few weeks, I ended up testing positive for COVID-19, and all your guys' mayonnaise talk about Canes got me through it. And
thank you.
Last night, I made myself just lathered it in Cane's mayonnaise, and I thought of you. So don't take that the wrong way, but I did.
Ready to get that little bit right there in the corner of your mouth. You got to get it there at the time.
Were there times when you were like having fever? You were having fever dreams, and you were, body aches. But the only thing that, like, you felt yourself slipping away, but you said, you know what? I got to hear what they say next about Cane's mayonnaise.
It pretty much was a wet dream, but with mayonnaise, okay?
It's okay.
But, all right. Real quick here, too,
and I'm sorry that you have COVID, and I hope you're doing much better. So I went back more Cane's the other day, and there was this container of, and it's a score, it looks like Heinz, squirtable, but it's not ketchup, it's mayo ketchup. When the hell did he start making this? That's like Thousand Island, right?
Isn't that the secret sauce at Bronco Burger and Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Ketchup and mayonnaise? All-American Burger is Thousand Island dressing. I may have them flip-flopped, but I'm pretty sure one of them was just ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together. Right, but there was the two burger joints. Those were the two secret sauces.
But I'm glad the mayo pulled them through.
Got them
the mayo talk. The mayo. It was us talking about the mayo. That's what got them through.
Right. Anything else, Jake, before we let you go?
Not much. I just wanted to comment really quick on the whole. Sorry, I got off topic here. The whole Drew Brees and the whole anthem thing. My only thing is that I just don't seem to understand is, and I think it's the big problem we have in this country, is the fact that we live in this society where you have to choose a side, where it's either you're with us or against us. Is it impossible to feel? Like, I probably need to be enlightened on this topic, being 27 years old, and to top it off, I'm white. But anyways, I just feel like you can respect the anthem and the flag, but also support what people are fighting for right now without the whole rioting and everything else going on in this country.
There's no reason you can't do both.
Well, I don't think one has anything to do with the other, and that's why people are calling Drew Brees tone deaf and how he's missing the point. You know, he gets asked a question about police brutality and what Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for, and, you know, with everything that's happened with George Floyd and police brutality, how do you feel as a leader? And he starts talking about the anthem and the flag. I don't think George Floyd's relatives have given 1 second's thought in recent weeks to either the national anthem or the flag. I don't think most people out there protesting have given a moment's thought to what they're going to do the next time the anthem plays or they see a flag waving. It doesn't have anything to do with it. In some cases, these people are quite literally trying to save their own kids' lives by saying, I don't know how to protect you when you're of an age to go out onto the streets and drive around in a car and maybe do something as foolish as try and pass a counterfeit $20 bill without getting killed over it. So that's what people are worried about. Those parents who are having these really uncomfortable conversations with their young black children, telling them like what you might have to do one day in order to live through it, don't give two rips about Drew Brees' thoughts on the flag or the anthem. It's got nothing to do with what's going on here. But that's where he decided, and for some weird reason, to take it. And that's why people are throwing up their hands and saying, wow, this guy doesn't get it. And his lengthy apology today seems to indicate that now he gets it. But that's why people were pissed off.
Peter is in West Wareham. Hi, Peter.
Hey, good morning.
Peter.
Been watching, listen to you guys every day. Love you. Peter, you're great. One quick comment about Breeze's statement. He went about it all wrong. I kind of have a feeling I know what he was saying as a former military guy. I respect our flag, and I love the anthem. I get chills every time I hear it. But you're right. Some of us grew up in a better way than a lot of other people did, and I respect their right to kneel during it. I don't know. There's something about what he said and the way he said it just didn't come out right. And I hope people can
give
him
the timing.
Player.
Given the time, sorry to interrupt, but giving the timing of it all, does anybody stand there and say, you know, what he said was he's right. It's 1% right. No. And if just the percentage of 98% versus 2, maybe there's a 2% faction of people under the thing standing. But yeah, he said the right thing. It didn't come off right.
We've all misspoken. We've all said things differently than the way we meant them to come out. But
maybe you didn't listen to the whole question too. And you sit there and your first thing you're asked is Kaepernick, and bang, the flag pops in your head, and all of a sudden you start thinking about what my answer is going to be.
Right.
And that's where you are.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show.
I like West Wareham. It's nice down there. Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful day. Got to get out and work in the yard again today.
Nice.
All right. Enjoy the day. Thanks, Peter.
All right. Stay healthy. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Pete. The question, though, was that he didn't answer, by the way. How should the league respond? That was what he was actually asked.
The question was, you as a leader in the league, how should you?
Yeah. And you as well.
You speaking for the league.
But it's like, on the league part, how should the league respond this time around? I don't think they should handle it the way they did last time, because they looked like they were cowering. They were cowering to the criticism that the league was taking, and I think that they were afraid of the president. And this time around, I'm curious to see how the league does respond in 2020 when this inevitably will come up again. This will be something that they are dealing with this fall.
Yeah, assuming, again, sponsors
too. Playing games and everything's good.
There are going to be sponsors on both sides that pull out, you know, and that's what they fear. Corporate sponsors. It's corporate sponsorships.
No, Beatles, come on. It's an election year. I'm sure none of this is going to happen in the fall.
No.
It's going to be gone by the fall.
It's going to happen again in the fall. I'm curious, because last time they were behind the scenes begging the players not to do it, begging the players not to kneel. They were afraid of the president. They were afraid of television ratings possibly dropping, and they were afraid. That's what the league was. The league was afraid. And so when that happened a couple of years ago, was it 3 years ago now that happened, they were, you know, they looked like they were on the run a little bit from a league perspective, and they started by saying, oh, we're going to trade it off, and we're going to invest in all these initiatives that players have done. Players, by the way, in their league, setting up initiatives, and they've supported their players who have done those things, which is why when you see a statement this week from Roger Goodell, I thought immediately, oh, how hollow this is. Give me a break. You're going to tell me your league is a leader on this stuff? You're not. Your players are. You got great players in your league that have done a lot for their communities.
And by
including Drew Brees, by the way, who's done plenty in his time. But don't tell me the league office is some sort of leader on race relations. Get out of here with that crap.
And I don't think the sponsorship is that big of a deal, though. A quick check on this, going back to 2017, the New York Times did essentially gathered up all the statements that different corporations made with regard to the kneeling controversy. Nike, we all know what side they were on.
Right.
Bose, we fly the flag, but we respect every person's views, and whether they respect that freedom or not, you know, they respect their right to do whatever they want. Ford, we respect individuals' rights to express their views, even if they're not the ones we share. Hyundai, same thing. Personal freedoms to express any way we want. Under Armour, the freedom of speech, expression, and a unified America. I mean, these are some of the biggies. Anheuser-Busch, they all seem to be on board with the same message. We fly the flag. We think it supports everything, including freedom of expression, and we support the right of the players to do that. So I don't think they would have to worry about. Even though I'm sure that was among the reasoning.
It was talked. I remember it was being talked that that's what they were worried about, losing those sponsorships.
Yeah, well, the find out who's, you know, what side they're going to be on. And, right. and based on what happened in 2017, I don't think you're going to have an issue with corporate sponsorships if the league doesn't once again decide to bring their hands over this. And I don't know. How was it handled at a league level last year? They just told the teams, do whatever you want. Handle it yourselves. I mean, was pretty much the league mandate. You guys take care of this, but don't embarrass us if you can. Thanks. Right. Bye. So right. I don't know that anything will be done at a league level, quite frankly.
Let's get to Bruce Arians on Tom Brady, and not only what Bruce Arians has to say about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks, but where he said it on a new show, an online show that has emerged out of this pandemic. That would be a show hosted by Joe Madden. What? Baseball manager Joe Madden. MLB's coolest manager, according to this very show that he is now hosting. Bruce Arians coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady is officially
a Florida man in trouble with the law.
Cited for working out in a closed downtown Tampa park.
One Tampa man had the new QB show up inside his house.
Oh my God, Tom freaking Brady.
All of those tourists covered with oil.
Tom Brady is
seen holding that alligator with its jaws taped shut as he tries to buy beer.
Tom Brady has attacked an ATM.
Tom Brady
says he doesn't remember anything about the night.
After calling 911 for a ride to the liquor store, he claims that he just didn't know what else to do.
I blew out my flip-flop.
The old Florida man intro. Florida man, Tom Brady. We're not exactly following the intro for its intended purposes of getting news from Tampa.
I forgot to look at the
Tampa
monitor.
News sources.
Did we have the graphic up for that?
No.
Fowler didn't put his own graphic up?
No.
Oh, boy.
They asked me if we were playing it.
Oh.
The computer issues over there.
Oh, no.
Shocker, huh?
Those Photoshops broke their system yesterday.
Broken. By the way, is it a coincidence that Mike Giardi just tweeted out in the last 2 minutes a video of what we're about to talk about? I don't think that's a coincidence.
Oh,
just happened to be looking on Twitter. Thanks for listening.
I think Arians is speaking right now to the media.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. I'm like, I just saw Bruce Arians talking about Tom Brady. Morning workouts. I'm like, is this what we're about? This is the audio we're about to play. Is this the audio? Anyway, all right, let's hear this. This is on. Let's just focus on this sound first, on the Joe Madden show, MLB's coolest manager, and I didn't come up with that. That's what it says on the title of the YouTube video, in partnership with MLB Productions, MLB Advanced Media. It is Joe Madden's show, and he's got his guest Bruce Arians, and here's Arians on Brady.
With Tom. It's been fantastic. It was way back in the Pro Bowl. I was coaching receivers in the Pro Bowl for the Steelers, and
we had
the game.
Wait, it's so distracting. The music. I can't get past that.
Here comes Bruce Arians.
It's about Joe Madden. Like it's about that's a Joe Madden thing.
Hard. Your grandmother used to watch Lawrence Welk, right?
No, but if I've seen it.
Oh, come on.
She watched Hee Haw. Okay.
Hee haw, same thing.
Cue up the cool jazz for Bruce Arians.
You want to try to play it again and try to focus on what
I'm
he's actually saying?
I'm trying to focus, but I can't.
I can't because he's such a hep cat.
Oh, God. And Joe Maddon and Bruce Arians, of course they're together on a show. Of course they're friends. Like, yes, they obviously have both coached in Tampa Bay, but they don't know each other from crossing over.
Yeah. But they're bebopping and scatting around.
These guys are the exact same guy. One does baseball and one does football, except this personality much better suits baseball. All right, let's try it again.
You got it,
baby. Try to focus.
We'll try it again. If not, we'll have to read the quotes from the story.
Okay, try to focus. Here we go.
I'm hip.
With Tom, it's been fantastic. It was way back in the Pro Bowl. I was coaching receivers in the Pro Bowl for the Steelers, and we had the game, and he was a fierce. You could tell he was a fierce. He wanted to win, even the Pro Bowl. You know, he commands excellence on the field. And there's no relaxation on the field when he's out there. I mean, if you're supposed to be at a certain spot on a route, you better be there, or he's gonna talk to you about it.
Okay. Did he get all of that from the Pro Bowl? Are we sure that all came from the Pro Bowl?
See, I read his comments, and there wasn't anything about the Pro Bowl, so I thought they've been practicing. He talked about Tom Brady.
He's been fantastic.
And how he is in a practice, and the way the players listen to him as opposed to the way they listen to coaches, and that comes with six rings, and the way he gets it, and I'm like, are they practicing? I know he's throwing to guys he had the jersey on, but, like, are there coaches there? Are they actually practicing? He seems pretty married to his Pro Bowl experience.
He's pretty aware of what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
For a guy who doesn't spend a lot of time at the stadium because he's got a lot of other things going on. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I got my bongo lessons coming up at 4. I can't be messing around with no square football practice. Come on. Kind of married the hippie and the jazz together
this,
there. I got to decide on what he is.
I think we have a little bit of breaking news here.
Oh.
In the NFL.
What?
On the NFL front. I don't know if it's worthy of the breaking news sounder. I mean, I think in these times it might be.
Why don't you just say it?
Well, I think maybe we should play the sounder.
Then play the sounder.
What do you think, Jim?
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It relates to directly what we're talking about, Mark Maskey. The NFL has informed teams that coaches can return to the team's training facilities starting Friday.
Wow.
NFL coaches are back tomorrow. Tomorrow they can go back to work. Mark Maskey just put that out on Twitter. So now Bruce Arians can go back to work legally. But I heard it, even with it being in context of the Pro Bowl, and I thought, are we sure he picked all that up at the Pro Bowl? What, has he been showing up secretly at some of these workouts, standing in the bushes with binoculars? Like, what's going on there? What is going on in Tampa? They've had a lot of guys there. A lot of guys working out. Brady's been throwing to them frequently. One of those workouts was caught on film by a member of the media. I wonder what's going on down there in Tampa. Byron Leftwich is there. Brady went over to Leftwich's house.
He's going to other people's houses that aren't even his coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some illegal practices going on down there in Tampa Bay.
Maybe. I thought there was going to be an NFL investigation into that. That was going to be the breaking news. Beetle, you better watch yourself. I wouldn't answer the door for a couple hours. You might be served papers. You may be charged with illegal and improper use of the breaking news sounder on that
one. No.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's breaking news.
NFL coaches can go back to work.
No. They were just mumbling the other day about the next time they may all come together might be training camp.
Not only that, NFL teams, there's more to this report. NFL teams can now have as many as 100 employees in their facilities. With coaches returning on Friday, teams must be in compliance with any state or local restrictions,
and
the NFL said in its memo to teams.
Right. That's why it doesn't necessarily mean anything for Patriots fans. Doesn't mean anything for fans in a lot of states.
They've been cleared.
If they're not cleared by the league, not cleared by the state.
Charlie Baker is on record saying the Patriots can go back to work.
They can go to practice.
100 people in the building all together?
Yeah, you're allowed to have 100 people in a building.
Need. Okay.
That's what you need to get the building up.
Yeah,
and
I guess
running.
So. June 6th, right? Yeah, that's Friday.
That's a big building.
It's a huge building. Saturday. You can absolutely social What's distance today? In a building of that size.
What's the date?
Today's June 4th. The 4th.
Thursday, June 4th.
So Saturday is the date they can go back, right?
No, Friday. Friday is. I'm reading it right here. Friday.
No, but you're talking about
Baker.
Here in this state?
Yes.
There was a date set of Saturday to return?
I thought it was June 6th.
You might be right on that.
Okay, that might be right. So they go back a day later than anybody else.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So in the next couple of days, Patriots are back, at least with their coaching staff, able to legally re-enter the building. And I bet if you went across the league, I bet coaches have been in their buildings once or twice over the course of this. How much they've worked with players, I don't know, but I'm sure some coaches have visited their office at some point during all of this.
Yeah.
So Hardy, the threshold of breaking news has come way down recently. Have you not realized that?
No, I think that deserved it. I think that's pretty good news.
I would let the kids answer the door for the rest of the afternoon. That's all. Because if they hand the papers to the kids, you haven't properly been served. Yeah, hand it to one of those little monsters. Lord knows what they're going to do with it, and you never saw it. I don't know. I don't know anything about any charges of improper use of the breaking news sounder. I never saw it. Let the kids answer the door.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
All right. But, again, the Joe Madden Show, which is called Uncorked, by the way.
not the Joe Madden Show.
Uncorked, which is the Joe Madden Show.
You know Uncorked. Why? You know why? He's a wine connoisseur.
Oh, it's all wine.
He's a wine connoisseur. People think cork baseball bat. That's what I.
Well, no, it can mean anything. It can mean anything, baby.
Well, he's a when you got massive wine connoisseur.
Clearly, double entendre being used here.
Hell
with the
yeah,
name. But no, he does drink wine during it.
He's one of those guys too that holds the wine glass with the tall stem in his hand like this, and I'm cupping it. Yeah.
Uncorked. He's uncorked in terms of he's just letting around. It flow, man. He's just letting his thoughts flow.
Are you supposed to do that with I really don't know. I'm asking. Are you supposed to do that with certain wines to warm the wine closer to, like, room temperature or body temperature? Is that why you would hold it like that? Because you're supposed to warm
it?
That's
cool. It's to be cool. Like, there's certain ways, like some people hold a cigarette to try and be cool. This has nothing to do with temperature.
Okay.
Well, if there's someone here that knows about smoking a cigarette, it's so.
Well, that's why, that's why Brent. When I was tending bar, that's what they told us the brandy snifters were for. They've got that big round bottom, so you'll
brandy
hold it like
want it
that
warm.
Because brandy, you want to keep it warm,
yes.
And you keep your hand around it like that to keep the brandy warm when you're drinking it.
I just put it in a microwave, half a minute.
That will only with the good stuff.
Yeah, anything before 1994.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh,
what's
God.
He want
what
now?
Does he want?
I don't know. We really need to get him a direct line because it's so much work to find out. He's posting it in our Slack, and I scroll down. You swirl the wine to oxygenate it. The air opens up the smells and flavors.
No, you use a decanter for that, right?
No, but also both, too. And you swirl it around to oxygenate. That's right. He doesn't even understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about temperature.
Talking about moving.
We know you swirl for oxygen.
Well, you could hold the stem of the wine glass and swirl it around to oxygenate it.
Yes.
I'm wondering why, if in fact he is holding it like that, if he's cupping it, so to speak, if he's cradling the bottom of the wine goblet, if he's doing it for some other reason other than just as Fowler says, to oxygenate the wine.
Let's get to more on this show, though. That's the Bruce Arians part of it. Let's just get to the show itself. This requires more.
All right.
Next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Uncorked. Uncorked with Joe Maddon, former manager of the Tampa Bay Rays and the Chicago Cubs. Now he's with the Angels. Now he's the Angels manager. And he's doing a YouTube show, a video online show.
You ever watch him when he drove his RV and followed him and his wife and how they love to just drive the country and just sleep at night in their camper? Like, he's a different cat, man, this dude. Wine connoisseur Joe Maddon.
I don't think it's so much that he's all that different. It's just that he wants to let you know how different he is.
No, no, no. If you look at their RV, I think it's decorated with like
It's like a tour bus.
No, it's the beads that are hanging down. He's a big Grateful Dead guy, I think. So like, I'm going to be trippy, man, and hip. So all the cool kids will see me and say, hey, I want to hang out with that older dude.
It's like a Winnebago bus that he has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but he's also the guy who's like, I'm different. I let my players have loud music after the game. Remember, he'd bring in like a magic show or like, you know.
Petting zoo.
Bring
the horses in. Where's the goats?
He treats his clubhouse like it's a 10-year-old's birthday party or something. Anyway, here's more from his show. Hardy, you got some sound of it?
Well, I've just got the introduction.
Okay,
so this is the show intro, a produced piece, I'm guessing, Jim, for the Joe Maddon show, which
he's
is called
in this, yeah.
Uncorked. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Joe Maddon with the first episode of Uncorked. I want to invite you into the living room right here and enjoy a nice glass of wine. I'm going to pour it up in a couple of minutes, and eventually we're going to be included with a special guest, Bruce Arians, head football coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, who I think is going to choose something a little bit stronger.
Okay, hold on now.
Oh, it's a menu. I like that.
First things first.
Did you get the wine list?
This is a this is a video?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on YouTube. That's where I found it anyway.
All right. So they have the ability, I've noticed, to talk over music, which is the thing that we find a lot of our former interns aren't able to do when they're producing their podcast.
Right.
The music runs out, then they start talking.
So he's already ahead of the game.
Well, it is an MLB production, so it's professionals.
Oh, it's okay. So this is legit. It's kind of got like an Esquivel type of space age bachelor pad jazzy thing going on, right?
It appears.
Yes.
The Jetsons.
Yes.
I couldn't tell. I don't think he's on the RV. It looks like the fireplace in the room he's in is real. So I think he's in his actual home right
now.
That's
good. All right.
So he's gonna get the wine open, and Arians is gonna join. Did he say Arians is gonna drink something stronger? Is that what he said?
Bruce Arians, head football coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, who I think is gonna choose something a little bit stronger. Been wanting to do this to stay connected with all you baseball fans, so let's get it going. Welcome to Uncorked.
I have a question. Does the music ever stop?
The show is only, I think, 12 minutes long, so I don't know. I'm curious.
Not much. It's a couple of little dull spots, but not much. Oh, not for more than like 15 seconds at a time.
I think Arian's going to do something a little stronger. He has opted for a 30 rack of Busch Light Draft and an 8 ball. But you know he's in Tampa, so hey, man, nothing else gives you that real deep feeling of cool. Let's bring him on. Ba-da-da-da-da.
Like Sam Rothstein.
Aces High.
Yeah, it really
from
is.
The Tangiers Sportsbook.
What's the name of his show? Aces High, right?
The Tangiers.
Aces High.
The Sam Rothstein Show. Aces High.
AC said 10%.
I watched it 2 days ago.
Did you really?
Yeah. Sam Rothstein is the best football handicapper in America. He'll take you inside the real Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think Caesars opened up at 10 a.m. today. Caesars reopened today.
Really?
Yeah.
What, Little Caesars did?
Not Little Caesars Pizza.
Oh.
You know what's funny about
that? The one where Caesar lives.
So Sam Rothstein is based on Frank Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Whose wife is that crazy Las Vegas mayor, right? Do I have that right? Is that the deal?
Yes, she is.
Was he the guy that became mayor? Which guy?
Hold on. Say that all again.
I have that wrong.
No, Oscar Goodman was the mob lawyer. So Oscar Goodman plays himself essentially in Casino when he's Nikki's lawyer, and he's Sam's lawyer too. He's representing Sam in the divorce scene with Ginger, right? So that's Oscar Goodman. He was mayor of Las Vegas when I was there, and I believe it is his wife now was the mayor of Las Vegas.
Right. I'm sorry, I have that confused. He repped all those guys in court. And the real-life guys that were, the movie was based on, he was their lawyer.
Right.
You're right, and he plays himself. But the guy who, in real life, was based, that Sam Rothstein was based on, had a TV show. That was really part of the story. Had, like, a local TV show. Yeah.
What was the name of the orchestra? Sasha something? Oh, what was it? I can only remember the Sam Rothstein dancers. All right, moving on. Let's get back to Uncorked here. I believe he's going to open the wine in this segment, gentlemen.
Nice.
Okay, guys and ladies, we're going to open up a nice bottle here of Grand Cabernet Franc. It's from Argentina. Boom, there it goes. Also had to utilize the Pink Flamingo to open it up. A lot of the times these South American wines are spicy, but once you get beyond that, this really, it does taste outstanding. Cheers.
Hardy, you think he has a snare drum in his bus?
Nice legs.
Nice legs. Oh, what a jackass.
Well, he had to roll. He had to roll the wine on the. You have to roll the wine on the goblet, and then you have to see how it trickles down the glass.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how you depend on whether or not it has nice legs or
it's
not.
It's got a nice nose. Oh, that's a very earthy bouquet. Strong finish. Once you get past that crap spiciness at the beginning, really like these Argentinian wines. Oh. Does it get you there?
That's the only thing I need to know.
Does it get pepper in the wine? Does it get you there? Fill her up. Wrong glass, sir. Nah, fill it up. Nice legs. Oh, that's the what's more insufferable, hearing people talk about wine or talk about cigars?
Oh, I was going to say craft beers or wine. Because they're pretty much the same guy.
Yeah, it's all
the same type of person. Yeah.
All craft beers taste like cold cigarette water that you would get out of an ashtray. It's all disgusting craft beers.
I wouldn't go that far, but... Wow, the people
they
that
might
talk
all
about
taste phenomenal, but
beers.
I just can't stand hearing people talk about them. Oh, nice legs! And what's with the flamingo opener?
A lot of the times, these South American wines are spicy, but once you get beyond that, this really it does taste outstanding.
The spice is crap. No one likes the spice at the beginning, but the rest of it.
Also had to utilize the Pink Flamingo to open it up.
Isn't that a swinger thing? Isn't that what's isn't
maybe?
Pink, aren't
maybe,
pink flamingos maybe. A sign of like a along with the upside down pineapple? Isn't that supposed to indicate swingers?
I haven't heard
there?
That one.
Yeah,
it's
only
literally
the
just
that
a,
stand,
oh, it's just a pink leg. Flamingo bottle opener.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah,
but it could be a sign to somebody watching.
Yeah, why that one?
Like, hey,
why the Hardy's right?
Yeah, right.
Why,
there's a signal why there.
One?
Yes,
you had to slide. You had to get that pink flamingo in there, didn't you?
Well, not only do you have to use it, but you have to draw attention to it.
Yeah,
like, just so you know,
wink, wink.
Right. Hot
flamingo.
Tub's open. Let's go.
Oh, all right.
Moving on.
That's why Hardy's got a bunch of them in his lawn out front.
Let's no,
stick right in the grass.
You don't want to be obvious about it. Just let people know the tub is, you know.
What light do you leave on up front?
It's a red lantern. this is, he's giving us the philosophy of the show?
Oh, great.
It's the first episode. He's got, what's his mission statement here?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, look, to his credit, Sam Rothstein told other people why he was doing the show. He had to explain to Nikki, look, yeah, I wanted to get my voice out there, yeah, so I could fight back. But he didn't do it on the show, as far as I know. He invited Pat Webb on the show. What's the matter, Pat? You don't need to send me a list of questions. I'll answer anything you want. But here is Joe Madden giving the philosophy of the show.
When you sit down and you're able to, I think, either share food or share a good drink or something that you have in common, the conversation just flows naturally from that. I like discussing common interests, and I also like to discuss common disinterests, things that we don't agree upon. That, to me, is even more interesting. I don't get upset. I love the moment when somebody disagrees with me. I want my coaches to disagree with me. Now I have a chance to learn. It's the best way to get to know one another.
Uh-oh.
Listen, today I'd like to start with a little story about my dad.
Nice. It sounds like a Charlie Brown show.
Vince Guaraldi like, trio
Vince
stepping
Guaraldi
in.
Vince Guaraldi is just back there banging on the keys. Like, they pan left, and there he is at the piano. Like, you know, Oh, hi. Hello there.
Some weird kid dancing in the background. Like,
what's going on?
He's zippy. Who let him out of the closet?
What they don't tell us is that this is a live music track in studio.
Oh, God. That's a little Fred Zippy.
Who's Zippy?
The little Fred, the little kid dancing around the background.
Can you not name a Peanuts character? I'll give you Snoopy and Charlie Brown. How many more can you name?
Linus, Lucy.
They're good.
Peppermint Patty.
Three.
Charlie Brown.
That doesn't count.
Pigpen.
Very good.
I think he's Snoopy. Who are we missing?
Franklin.
Who's the bird? What's the bird's name?
Woodstock.
Woodstock, yep.
Woodstock.
Linus's little brother, Rerun.
I feel like we're missing some of the girls.
Marcy. Peppermint Patty's friend
Lucy,
with the glasses.
Right. Peppermint Patty.
Yep.
Marcy. Trashy. Marcy was the first one to wear Birkenstocks, I think, on that show.
All right.
That's it.
This Dayton show history is lined up for the next segment. Don't miss it.
Big show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Take me away. I don't mind. But you better promise me I'll be back in time. I gotta get back in time.
The pandemic favorite. Zolak and Bertrand.
Yeah.
This Dayton show history.
Hardy, I see what you did there. You slid that nice legs in your little Woodbridge right there.
You like that?
Yeah, impressive.
Smooth. Thank you. Thank you.
That's why you're the best.
All right, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let's go back 5 years to this date, the 4th of June, 2015.
All right.
It was the first time that we got to hear a certain someone talk to a certain NFL quarterback.
Oh, God.
You know who this is.
Yep.
Zoe, you know who this is?
Someone talked to certain info. No.
Come on. Yes, you do. First time someone was able to speak to a certain NFL quarterback. Think about it.
Someone on this show got to speak to an NFL quarterback. Probably the first NFL quarterback you ever spoke to.
Well, no. Not the first time, though, technically. Right, not the first time I had spoken to him, Hardy, obviously. I had spoken to him once before.
Was this Best Buddies?
At maybe a much younger age.
Let me just roll the clip.
Oh, Drew. That's right. Drew was in Pumping the Wine.
Let's go right back to the phone calls. We'll talk to Mark and Quincy next. Mark?
Yeah.
Say hi to Drew Bledsoe.
Hi, Drew.
How you doing, Mark?
I was wondering, you're playing the world champion Dallas Cowboys this year. How do you feel about that?
Well, at least he asked a question. He didn't tell him to talk about it.
How do you feel about it?
You know what I mean?
What you kind can of see emotion the young journalism invoking you?
Look how Beto would twist that answer today as a professional. How would you change what you said?
Say hi to Drew Bledsoe.
Hi, Drew.
How you doing, Mark?
I was wondering, you're playing the world champion Dallas Cowboys this year. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm excited about the opportunity. You know, I think everybody is in the league to prove that you can beat the team that won the Super Bowl the last year. Hopefully we'll be able to go down and play well. We've got to go play at their place, I think, and that makes it more difficult, too.
You know where the game is.
Yeah, we're excited about the opportunity.
There you go. Paul and Natick, go ahead. You're next on Kentucky Sports World. Paul with Drew
Buckley. They left you up. They left you up.
No. That's the next caller, Hardy.
Beto, when'd you get rid of the Quincy accent?
What?
That's the next caller.
Oh.
Ready to go. Called on a good phone. Called on a landline because that's all we had.
Paul and Natick, go ahead. That's you're next on Kentucky Sports World. Paul with Drew Buckley.
Paul and Natick. A disgrace.
Was
what a
this
mess.
I forget what this show was. Was this
what?
This. You almost said it.
I did. It sounded like I almost said it. I wasn't thinking it, though. Was this like a kids-only call-in talk show?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
That segment, yes.
Yes, New England Cable News, Jimmy Young, who
I saw him at a bar in Cape last year.
He loves that clip. I actually talked to him about it, I don't know, a year ago
I talked about him, too, a year ago. I saw him in a cape at a bar. He played that thing with Beatle all the time.
Yeah, he was at an event with us at Mr. Sid's, I don't know, probably about a year ago, maybe more. Maybe a couple of years ago.
Probably
but
2 years, yeah.
We had a laugh about it. We did.
Did he remember it? Oh, yeah, I remember
you
calling
him. He doesn't pretend to remember it, no.
Yeah.
Say hi to Drew Bledsoe.
Hi, Drew.
How you doing, Mark?
I was wondering, you're playing the world champion Dallas Cowboys this year. How do you feel about that?
I feel crappy about it. How do you think I feel? Get away from me, kid. You bother me.
I was building a little demo tape there, Hardy. You know, a little something to put in the files.
All right, this next clip on this date in show history comes from 2017. Ironically, Scott Zolak on our call this morning complaining about the heat.
I didn't complain.
Yes, you did. Oh, it's so hot.
I didn't. I made a statement. I said it's already hot as hell outside. That's all I said. That's not a complaint.
Okay, but you didn't say, it is hot as hell outside. Right on.
I'm going to have to go to my backyard to my gorgeous pool now.
Right.
Ugh.
Which is in stark contrast to what you said on this Dayton show history 3 years ago.
Oh. You understand why people, I'd never kill myself because that hurt. We're bringing you pain today. We're bringing you misery. You know who likes today? My kids. You know why my kids like today? Because it's 48 freaking degrees in June, and they don't have to worry about, we only got 2 more weeks of school, but it's not 85 out, so no problem. They're excited to go to school. While it's pouring, stupid-ass people don't know how to drive. This is Boston. This isn't freaking Atlanta during an ice storm or Dallas. Get the hell out of the way. I'm happy, though, because I'm going to start talking football. I got football to live for. Kings of Leon, don't worry about that. I feel like Felger and Mass today. Like, we haven't even talked. Like, hey, what we do? We just communicate through email. Good, how are you? What do you want to start with, Tony? Good? Hey, let's go. Sleeves, you got anything? Or you need another second to hook up your stupid computers? Jay Stu, release the hounds. Open up the lines. Wow, what a drive, huh? All right, I'm done. It's amazing how traffic can set
my
up.
Favorite part. I'm not going to kill myself because that would hurt.
Yeah. That's...
Well, think about it. How many different ways to
kill myself because that hurt?
Yeah. I'm right, though. Like, you may want to pull that trigger, but you're going to feel trauma for a second.
Can we not? Instead, we'll just wrap things up on this.
Wasn't the name of the MASH theme, Suicide is Painless?
Yes.
Wasn't that the song?
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't hurt so.
I think there are lyrics to the song too. They just play. Yeah.
Are there lyrics?
I think the actual song has lyrics.
For MASH?
And they play an instrumental. Yeah.
There must have been such overhead filming that inside only one tent. A lot of money spent with the overhead production on that.
I bet it was super cheap to film that show.
Oh my
You're
god!
Right,
yeah.
So.
You basically spent it in three rooms. Same thing with Three's Company. You see, you're in three rooms. That's it.
Yeah, you get a few exterior shots in the hills and mountains outside of Burbank.
Get that from Rambo,
and then you everything else is done on a soundstage.
Wikipedia says for the entire show they had a $3 million budget, and they spent just over $3 million producing the show, and they made $81.6 million. That's a good margin. That's a good margin they made on that one.
Oh, Hawkeye Pierce. All right, let's go to the final
That's off. See him in a movie before.
Portion of this date in show history. All the best drops that we have from this date, this 4th of June in the history of this show.
You could put the baby right in the bag.
I think you guys are I enjoy going to a strip club.
I've got an empty Mountain Dew can that one of the girls from Veruca Salt drank out of. I put it in a Ziploc bag and held on to it. I'm going to clone her one day.
It's all connected. You see that midget bar fight? It's like all over the internet.
It's like,
Brendan's in Newton. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, Brendan. Good afternoon, guys.
You're Brendan.
Boston baked beans.
No idea what half of that is,
brain soup.
Good.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.